Our first presenter for the afternoon session is Yusong Lee, who is an associate professor in the Department of Civil Engineering at the University of Nebraska-Lincoln. Her goal in research is to protect and restore environment and water resource based on fundamental investigation of the complex physical, chemical, biological processes that govern flow and transport of contaminants in the environmental systems across multiple systems. Her research is funded by NSF, USDA, Department of Energy, USGS. She teaches classes on the introduction to water resources engineering, groundwater engineering, and the fate and transport of contaminants in porous media. And today her talk is titled Impacts of Climate Change on Nitrate Transport Beneath a Center Pivot Irrigated Cornfield. Welcome, Yusong.
Thank you very much. I'm very happy to come here. And thanks a lot for allowing me to share some of our work to you. This has been a great session, and I have learned a lot this morning. And there are a lot of variable field studies and a lot of data available. And I just want to show you a little bit of our effort to trying to use some of the data and trying to predict the future. And as you know, a lot of stuff we are talking about is hypothetical, so a lot of uncertainties will be involved, which we'll discuss later. This is a work that is part of a big project that was funded by USDA and NSF. The PI is Shannon Bartlett-Hunt. She is not able to come here. I'm one of the co-PIs. We have people from civil engineering and people from economics, community regional planning, and School of Natural Resources. It's a large project that talks both about the hydrological part and also economic part. And my presentation today is mainly on the hydrological modeling part. Most of the work that I'm presenting today are actually done by two of my students. One is Sammy, she's a PhD student, just graduated, and Cesar, who was a master's student, also just graduated. And for the audience here today, I think we don't have to worry too much about the big motivation. Essentially, groundwater pollution is an issue that we are trying to address this and protect our environment. With the growing of the population, climate change, and also increased agriculture activities, we are not sure how the groundwater quality would look like in the future. So this project, we are using numerical modeling as a tool to trying to predict what's happening. And we focusing on the site that is called the Nebraska Management System Evaluation Area in Central Platte. This is an active research site that was maintained by University of Nebraska, which was active in 1990s. So we were able to collect, there were a lot of data available at that time. This site is on a shallow groundwater aquifer, and underneath groundwater was contaminated with nitrate as 30 milligram per liter. The focusing of this study is trying to look at the nitrate in the vital zone. Okay, we not really look a lot on the groundwater, but we find that they are very interrelated. You would see that I had to get to groundwater modeling and come back to predict what's in that soil domain. So the objective of the part that I'm presenting to you is trying to develop a model to simulate the water flow and the nitrate in a variably saturated domain. And the general idea is that if we can have a model that can reasonably simulate the historical data, we might be able to use it to predict the future if we get some information about the future climate. That is a general idea that we are doing. So there are several steps that I want to walk with you. We are kind of exploring, and some of the steps we were not planning on by the time we wrote the proposal. So it's kind of exploring process. The first step is develop a 3D model, hydrological model, for the nitrate transport in the vital zone. And with this, after we work on this for the historical data, we actually found that groundwater actually bring in a lot of, because contaminated groundwater bring a lot of nitrate into this unsaturated zone. So we have to get to our second step to predict the groundwater elevation in that area for the future if we want to predict the nitrate in the Vado zone. In order to get the groundwater elevation, we got to get the recharge first. So we're kind of going to, first is the historical data for the nitrate in the Vado zone, and then we predict the groundwater recharge in a larger scale than what we are looking at, and then predict the groundwater elevation, and then with those input information, we come back to predict the nitrate on that small site. So the site we are focusing on is actually quite a small site, the Nebraska MESA site. It has several different components. It has an upper gradient buffer area. It has a component research site. And we're actually working on is the research demo site. This site in 1990s was very well controlled. It was separated into the three different parts, and each part, different irrigation strategy was implemented. When the fertilizer was applied, when the irrigation was applied, and how much was very well documented. Then, and you can see there are a lot of multi-level sampling wells were installed in this site, and we were able to get a lot of data from this site. So that was one of the reasons we chose this site, that hopefully we can simulate the nitrate information in the Vado zone of this site. And we first step, what we did was we based on the well lithology information that we were able to get from this site, and develop a lithology model. We focus on the right bottom corner. This part is central pivot. We focus on this site. This is a central pivot irrigation system that is very well controlled, and corn was planted on this site during that period. We first developed the lithology model using a software called RockWorks, and there we incorporate that, import that into a hydrological model, Hydros 3D, that is able to simulate water flow and contaminant transport in a variably saturated domain. So this is a 3D model that we developed. We actually got a lot of data from the well, the previous multi, well lithology information, and we also went to the site and got some soil sample collected to try to verify some locations. So this site is relatively homogeneous in the bottom, and on the top is kind of has mixed different type of the loams. They are all kind of fell into the loam category, loam 1, 2, 3. Are kind of, but the hydrological information is still a little bit different. This part is kind of like sandy loam. So we simulate those processes. We simulate the water flow, and we simulate root water uptake from the corn. And we include the precipitation, irrigation, and evapotranspiration. And for the bottom boundary, we simulate as a variable pressure because groundwater level is changing. So it is variably. The depth of the this domain that we are simulating is get a little bit into the groundwater. So it's not pure Vado zone. It's getting a little bit into the groundwater. And for the soil transport, we're focusing on the nitrate for this part because there are a lot of data of the nitrate measurement on the site. And we simulate the root uptake and also nitrate transport. And we have the fertilizer application from the top, from the urea. And nitrate is also in the irrigation water because the ground, this part of the water is kind of contaminated. And the nitrate in the concentrated in the groundwater was considered. We simulate the area from April 1993 as our starting point, and those are the kind of initial conditions for the nitrate concentration of water content in the field. And they are highly, spatially variable. It's not like a constant on the site. I just wanted to directly show you some of the results we found. First thing I think we found quite important is that the soil properties really is very, very important for the nitrate leaching in the field. So here on the those several plots shows you the different soil type at the different depth from the surface. You can see that. As just told you previously, there are different types of the loam. They are not highly heterogeneous. But even with that, you can see that the concentration distribution we got is of the nitrate is kind of delineated a little bit based on the spatial distribution of the soil properties as well as the water pressure over there. Here is some result for the pretty top soil in the, this is a layer that is 0.56 meter from the surface. And those are the nitrate concentration change over the time from 1993 to 1995 in April and October. And you can see that always in October in the same year, it's kind of a little bit higher than April. And if you look at the mass of the nitrate in the system, it's also follow this trend. So the blue dots are the nitrate produced from Ura, and the green the red ones are the nitrate from the irrigation water. And you can see that it's very like match up with the season of the fertilizer application. And so soil moisture and nitrate in the shallow depths really controlled by the surface application of the irrigation, fertilizer, and precipitation. So that is from the top. And also if you look at the from the bottom, which is at the, this is from the quite bottom of our domain. So this is the water pressure change in the bottom of our the site from April 1993 all the way to 1995. And you can see that its pressure is increasing and decreasing, it's alternating. And this is corresponding to the thickness of the groundwater getting into our simulation domain. You can see. So in October 1993 and April 1994, we are kind of at the higher groundwater level, and then it's kind of changing. Correspondingly, and you can see that this is the nitrate concentration distribution at the lower bottom of this zone and of the simulation domain. And you can see that it is corresponding very well with the groundwater elevation change. And we look at the bottom flux, water flux versus nitrogen flux, they pretty much match. So this really tells us that groundwater level elevation or fluctuation, that is really important to look at how much nitrate is in this zone, because the groundwater was contaminated and it bring in and bring out a lot of the contaminants into this zone. This slide shows several comparison at some multi-level sampler locations of our simulated and field measured nitrogen concentration. Okay, so we are kind of pretty well matched in most of the locations, not every single one. We have a lot of data over here. But for some, I remember on this multi-level sampling, well, we don't match very well, but generally we are kind of have a good comparison with the historical data. So with that, we think we probably capture the majority of the processes that is governing the nitrate in this vadose zone. So we wanted to see that where we wanted to apply this model to predict for the future. So when we think about that, we realize it's really important if you wanted to produce the future, you got to know the future precipitation, all those data we can get from the climate information, the future precipitation and the future evapotranspiration, that I will show you how we deal with that. But in addition to that, we found this groundwater level change. That is very significant, at least for this period of the time that we are simulating, and we don't feel that we can ignore. We have to predict the groundwater level, what is happening for the future. So that gets us to the second step, to look at the groundwater for this part of the site. And our site is very small, as you can see, and it's pretty much just impossible for us to predict the groundwater level in a, based on the data from a such a small site. So we have to look at a larger area. And we start with predicting the recharge in the area, and then use recharge data to predict the groundwater elevation change in the area. So the second part we work on is to predict the groundwater recharge for this part. So which area we are working with? We are working with much larger area. We focusing on the pretty much the whole upper plate basin in this area. And we are using the future data from the climate model. Data is from weather research and forecasting model, REF model. And this is a model that was Nebraska essentially using the Global Community Climate System Model, CCSM4 data, and then downscale it to a lower, higher resolution as 24 by 24 kilometer square. And just for your information, CCSM4, it simulates the representative concentration pathway 8.5, which is the high greenhouse gas emission pathway, essentially, which is the worst scenario of the global warming climate model. So this model, they use the data from 2006 to 2010 as their control, and then they try to predict 2056 to 2060. So we are trying to use their data. Here are some of the information of the data in the upper plate basin. Precipitation change average during those years. Those are the data we got from the climate model. We didn't do any modeling. And this is a potential evapotranspiration, and this is a temperature. You can see it's like it's changing spatially. And the way we model it, use those model to got the groundwater recharge. The way we are doing is a very widely used way to estimate. It's called an inverse Weddell zone modeling method. Essentially, from this climate model, we not only got those general precipitation potential evapotranspiration information, we can also get the moisture content data in the different layers of the soil. Okay, and then we use this approach essentially to trying to match, I'm not going to get into too much of the detail about this, but we are essentially trying to match the soil property we are trying to adjust the soil property parameters to make our hydrological model simulated moisture content in the soil agree with the climate model predicted data. So that's what we do. And then the groundwater recharge is the water flux that leave the boundary. So that is what we are doing. And I want to just show you a little bit of our results on the inverse modeling performance. We essentially use a one-dimensional model and simulated 250-something locations along in this upper plate basin. To get an overview about the groundwater recharge in those areas. And here I just want to show you two points. One is on the very west, and how the simulated and observed, obviously it's not real observed, it's observed by that climate model. It's the climate model produced the data. So at a different this different depth from the soil. Okay, so this is from the west side. West side is kind of good approximation. This is on the very east part. So in general, we are pretty consistent along the way. So we are able to apply this inverse model to predict the groundwater recharge. So essentially, this is what we found. For the future, groundwater recharge as well as actual evapotranspiration. This is the actual evapotranspiration average per year during the future period from 2057 to 2060. And this is a groundwater recharge average amount per year. So essentially what we found, if you compare with the historical data, you would see it have a higher temporal variation. We have the map for the each year, and I'm only showing you the average. And also, we found that mean yearly groundwater recharge is decreasing under the future climate scenario. And this is a comparison with the literature. Literature give us historical data for the groundwater recharge. And the background over here is what we simulated. And if you can see, those are from the two different literatures. We generally have the similar trend as this this bottom study. And if you compare the numbers, generally for the future, based on our prediction, the groundwater recharge level will be reduced due to the different climate condition. Based on the groundwater recharge information, we wanted to apply this to the area adjacent to our MISA site and predict the groundwater fluctuation of the site. So that is our third step to go. Okay, this is the site that we choose to study groundwater elevation. And this site is also inside the Central Platte Basin, but it is larger than our actual research site, because our site is really tiny. And this was bounded by the Wood River and also the Platte River. The other reason we wanted to work on this area is there was an old USGS study, and that has done groundwater modeling work in that site as well, so that we have a lot of information to compare. So idea is that we compare the groundwater level okay with the historical data, then we might be able to predict the groundwater level in this larger area for the future scenario, and then we apply to our site. Our actual site is this tiny red site. Okay, and this part of the area is just a highly irrigated land. 90% are corn and 10% are soil beans. It's again shallow aquifer, mainly sand gravel, and there are a lot of irrigation wells. There are 258 irrigation wells. They will withdraw water from this area. So what we do is, again, we got lithology model data from 43 boreholes in this area. And we try to we use the rock works to develop the 3D view of the hydraulic structure of the site. And then we need to collect some information about the boundary, particularly historical evapotranspiration is very important. So we were able to collect the historical actual evapotranspiration information from EE flux, which is a Landsat-based evapotranspiration mapping tool on the Google Earth engine. This was developed by another faculty member at Nebraska. Together, she was collaborating with others help Google get this established. So we are able to extract their data and calculate the average evapotranspiration, actual evapotranspiration, and figuring out the monthly actual evapotranspiration for the historical from the 1991 to 2014. So they take off part of our boundary. from the evapotranspiration. And also there are a lot of pumping wells on the side, so we were able to extract all the pumping well information, their location, their service radius. The only thing, their operation time during the period, I mean, from which year to which year, but we don't really know their pumping rate. So this is an estimation, is that we assume that all the waters that was pumped out was for irrigation. This is a highly irrigated well. And if they are extra, they get back. So we're just using the, based on the difference between the actual evapotranspiration and the precipitation, to trying to figure out the pumping rate. Here are some the simulated groundwater elevation for this area from the 1991 to 2014. And as I said previously, USGS has a report, and there are some, a lot of the work done on the groundwater level monitoring, as well as some simulation work done. So we are trying to pretty much compare our data with that historical study to make sure our model is okay. Essentially, it's not as exact, because there are only 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 wells in the area, and our numerical grid is much, much finer. But I think we got a reasonably okay comparison. We compare every year for all the data, and this is kind of show you a little bit of the reported, observed data. Those are the simulated data that we have. So we got a pretty good correlation. So we think we can use this to predict the future groundwater elevation for this using this model for this area. So this is just to show you that on the MISA site, that is our real focusing on the nitrate. What was the ground level look like? From the 1991 to 2014 in the four corners of the MISA site. It's kind of fluctuation, and it's gradually declining, you can see. And so we have to put in a lot of assumptions again for the future groundwater elevation prediction. For the future precipitation, it's pretty straightforward. We can using the data from the rough weather research forecasting model, as we just used for the recharge prediction. Okay, and for the recharge and actual evapotranspiration, we just use the results from our step two research. And for the future groundwater level at the boundary of this simulation domain, that is the part, I would say, the weakest point of this study is we really don't know what would happen in the future unless we do a much larger scale model to predict that. So what we did was we based on the historical data that we collected, and then we use a Fourier regression to predict for the future, assume the similar trend essentially. And for the future pumping rates, we use a similar approach. So with that, this is the simulated future groundwater level, groundwater elevation, from the 2055 to 2060. So essentially, we found is that groundwater table decline over the period, which I will show you the data later on more easily. And we found that the groundwater level decline on the average of 7 inches per year in the sandy area, and in the 24 inch per year in area consisting of gravel. Essentially, the higher, the place with higher hydraulic conductivity or permeability, we saw more groundwater declination. In the surrounding area of the MISA site that we are working on, it declined about 7.8 inch per year. And those are the data that we found for the surrounding the MISA site, how the groundwater level change from the 2055 to 2060. With those information, we think we had, in a step one, we had a model that was reasonably good to simulate nitrate transport in the Vados zone. And from the step two and three, we were able to reasonably figuring out the future groundwater recharge, as well as the groundwater level change on our research site. So for the very last step, we try to predict the future nitrogen concentration in the site. So this is the groundwater level. And I just want to get back a little bit on the comparison of the climate for the past and the future that we are working with. Total precipitation in the past is 2079. And for the future is a little bit higher, not like hugely higher, at least based on this data. And potential evapotranspiration in the past is 4,000, and in the future is 3,500. And we do the simulation for the same amount of the days for the past. This was the past, and this was for the future. And you can see this is the mass of nitrate in the domain, in the Vados zone. This is for the past, that is kind of increasing. And this is the future. Okay, this is a little bit surprising, honestly, so we wanted to get into to see why we got less amount of the nitrate nitrogen in this domain. Several reasons out there. So if you think about the source of the nitrate nitrogen in our tiny small domain, it comes from the surface application of the fertilizer. And some of the fertilizer with nitrogen can be obtained from the urea transformation. And some of them are in irrigation water. So if you look at here, you have more mass of nitrate produced from urea than in the past than in the future, okay? And also, you have more nitrate, nitrogen in the irrigation in the past and in the future. So why is that? Nitrogen mineralization really depends on the soil moisture. And if you compare the old and the future and the past, the actual evapotranspiration is quite different. Actual evapotranspiration in the past is only 1405 millimeter, but for the future is 2100. So essentially, you have drier soil, and the transpiration is higher in the future. So that way, you have less of the amount of the urea get transferred to the nitrogen. And you also have the higher root uptake in the future because of higher transpiration process. And if you look at the pressure head distribution in historical data and the future, also shows that you have the reduced soil content in the future. And this is really mainly due to increased temperature and increased actual evapotranspiration. The other type, the other source of the nitrate get into the domain that we are working with is from the bottom, from the groundwater level fluctuation. And if you do the comparison between the past and the future, that you would find that in the past, the groundwater level is relatively higher, and fluctuation is much more dominant. And in the future, the groundwater level is relatively low, and the mass of nitrate entering into the domain is much less from the bottom groundwater fluctuation getting to the domain. So from the bottom is also get reduced. So this is the nitrogen concentration comparison for the past and for the future. It's reduced, as I just said. So in summary, I presented a lot. Hope you are still awake. Essentially, I just wanted to summarize a little bit. We developed a historical data model to try to get the nitrate transport in the Vados zone. And we found that from the surface application-wise, soil heterogeneity, the soil property influence like how far they go. And from the bottom-wise, the groundwater level, if the groundwater is contaminated, it bring in nitrogen. And on the other side, if it's clean, it probably will be able to bring remove some out. This interaction is very important. We predicted the groundwater recharge for the future in the upper plate basin. It showed a reduced trend. And we predicted the groundwater level in the adjacent area of the MISA site. It also showed a declination trend. It's a little bit more sharper declination than the past period. And we predicted a less amount of nitrate in the Weddell zone. I just wanted to make sure that this is a very interesting project for us. It's a way of exploring the method, but there are a lot of uncertainties involved in this project. We are trying to incorporate those uncertainties into the model. Okay, so for example, the hydrogeology model has uncertainty, and also the climate model has uncertainty, but we are using a set of the certain parameter to do the prediction. So that is something we need to consider. Also, our domain, even though our domain is relatively well sampled, but we kind of didn't consider any preferential pathway, possible fractures in the soil. Those could really, really accelerate the nitrogen transport, which was not considered in our model. The second thing that this is what we are doing and trying to do, and also the model for the prediction in the future, we only consider the direct influence of the climate. But actually, in the future, irrigation strategy could be different, right? So right now, the amount of the irrigation water that we add in using the same strategy as people used in the previous to the certain portion of the precipitation. And also the human activities, for example, the land use could change, fertilizer use could change. Those are the things that we are trying to, as a big research project, trying to work with the economic modeling group to incorporate their funding into our model and make sure that we can make a little bit better and more certain prediction. So that's all I have. Thank you very much for your attention.
Any questions?
I'll ask a question if nobody else does. Okay, so in the future, we're going to have less precipitation, more evapotranspiration. As a result, we're having less urea transformed into nitrate. Then that less nitrate then, because of the additional evapotranspiration, the uptake by the plants is more efficient. Then my question is the model using the same urea application rate, or does that change? I mean, are the plants going to be able to get enough nitrate?
Yeah, that's a very good question. That is kind of one of the things we wanted to improve. So right now, we are using the exactly same strategy as the historical data. And also, the crop model in the hydros, the component for the crop uptake is very simple. We are trying to incorporate much more advanced crop model, so that will be much more accurate. That's a very good question. Yeah.
So the reduction in groundwater recharge, is that primarily a function of the change in precip or the change in ET?
I think ET. Okay. Yeah, ET influence more. Yeah.
Do you have any? Have you looked at that in Minnesota area?
No, we haven't. Yeah.
All right. Thank you.